Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, bringing you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. And today we have what is, I guess, a classic Inside Scoop. It is the classic example, really an archetype of the kind of stories the government does not want you to know. My guest today is a true American hero. Her name is Sybelle Edmonds, and if you haven't heard of her, well, you should have, definitely by now. She was a former contract translator working for the FBI, trying to help us after September 11th to find out what terrorists, what people like Al-Qaeda were saying and doing and planning to attack Americans. And in the process of working there in the FBI trying to protect American security, she found a danger much, much closer to home. She found that in the FBI itself, there was another translator, a woman by the name of Melik Khan Dickerson, whose husband was a major in the Army, Major Douglas Dickerson. And she found out that this woman, who actively recruited Sybelle to join a front group that's also being investigated, a foreign group that the FBI believes may be a terrorist group, tried to recruit her for that, and also was giving this foreign group under investigation our wiretaps, actually giving them information. She also discovered that translators were hired who couldn't speak the languages, they left secure laptops lying around, and of course she reported this to her superiors at the FBI. The many documents that weren't translated right, all the times that this fellow translator was hiding translations, not doing her job, actually marking as not pertinent hundreds of telephone conversations regarding what terrorists were planning in the United States. Was she given a medal? Was she hailed as the great savior? No. No, she was fired. She was fired. Of course, another thing she found out was that in April 2001, our government had substantial information that we were going to be attacked by Al-Qaeda, didn't do anything about it, and I'm sure her superiors didn't appreciate that either, but she was fired. Now, I know if you're a longtime listener, you know all this. You know all this. Sybelle Edmonds came on the Inside Scoop back in June and July of 2004. I'm very proud that I had her on at a time when not too many people knew her name, but now you really should know her name. She's been on 60 Minutes, she's been New York Times, Washington Post, and Congress is certainly finally taking her seriously. And I wanted to bring her on for an update because there's a lot to her story. There's, of course, the initial problems, which we're going to go into. There's her lawsuit against the FBI saying, "You fired me because I told the truth about spies and corruption." A lawsuit that the government had dismissed for violating state secrets. They never denied the substance of her claims. The FBI admitted, in fact, that her claims were substantially true. The inspector general there admitted that, of the Justice Department, said that she was right. But what did the administration do? Not only did they not give her back pay and reinstate her and give her the Congressional Medal of Freedom, which I would like to see her get, but they said, you know what, this is all classified. And even the information that has been made public, we're going to retroactively classify it. We're going to make sure that even stuff the public already knows, even stuff reported on Mark Levine's Inside Scoop and radio stations across the United States, we're going to retroactively classify it. We're going to gag people for trying to expose incompetence, corruption, and espionage at the highest level of the U.S. government. And for a time, well, a lot of people didn't discuss Sybelle Edmonds, but I tell you, she's just coming back from some tremendous victories, both in court, where the Justice Department has given up its idea of retroactively classifying material, to, in fact, a hearing that she just had in Congress last Wednesday, when she was going to appear on this show, going into pseudo-classification, the government classifying documents to hide accountability rather than to hide real state secrets. So there's a lot to talk about. I'm going to stop talking now and introduce my guest, my hero extraordinaire, Sybelle Edmonds. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good afternoon, Mark. Thank you.
It's good to
be back.
It's good to have you back. And really, I've just been so so favorably impressed by your dignity, by your sticking with this, by really your fighting for all of us, both on two levels. One on the level of protecting our national security from terrorism, but also on the level of protecting us from our own government, which is trying to cover up this information. And so I'd like to, I guess, repeat some of the details that I know you've told so many times before. Some of my listeners remember last year when you were on. I have a lot of new listeners since then. Let me go through, just at a start, the basic, you know, story, and then we'll go and go into some of the updates that are really exciting.
Sure.
Let's start with the very beginning. You're an American citizen, correct?
Correct.
And you were born, I think, in Iran and grew up in Turkey. And you're fluent in a number of languages.
Yes.
Middle Eastern languages. Which languages would those be?
Well, they are saying that the languages that I speak are considered classified.
Oh, excuse me. Well, see, you know, that's part of the problem. I can talk about some things on air, and I'm sorry, I don't want to get Sibel Edmonds in trouble. I mean,
I cannot tell you whether or not I speak Farsi, Turkish, and Azerbaijani languages. So I cannot tell you whether or not I speak those languages.
You know, this is what amazes me about our government and this whole case, is that to say that this kind of information is secret tells you the kind of things the government's hiding. Oh, and also, let me throw out the phone numbers, because there's a lot of questions my listeners may have. The toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also write it on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Feel free to jump in this discussion and ask Sibel anything. And if she says it's classified, hey, there's some things I know about her case that I can tell you where they won't, at least not yet, come and lock and take me away. Tell me what you can tell me about what it was like working for the FBI Translation Department after September 11th.
Yes, I started working for the FBI about a week after September 11, 2001, and I was performing translations for three Middle Eastern languages. And within the first 2-3 months after I started working there, I came across some really serious cases and issues. And I reported these issues to my direct supervisors, and I thought, okay, I did what I should have done, and they're going to take care of these. And when I gave it to the supervisors, I provided them with documents and evidence. It was not, thinking of this. It's just, here are several very important issues that is happening here. They not only that they didn't want to do anything about it, they came and they asked me to keep quiet about it because some of these issues involved security breaches, potential espionage, and that if they were to admit to one and start investigating it, the department would come under fire and they would have to shake up the whole department. And this is what they told me. They said, well, who knows then how many others will fall out of it in terms of these security breaches. So they didn't want to touch it.
No, wait. This is really important here. You're saying that they said if they investigated it, they might find more situations of spies or espionage and more people might get in trouble, so they weren't going to investigate?
Correct, because later I found out that other cases, similar cases, had been reported to them. So this case that I took to their attention was not their first one in terms of security breaches and in terms of the FBI hiring certain translators from Middle East and granting them top secret clearance without checking their background. And some of these translators either worked for the target organizations. These are the organizations we were listening to, wiretapping. And some of these individuals had ongoing close relationship with people that we were targeting. And yet, the FBI had hired these translators, had granted them top secret clearance, and had put them in charge of receiving raw intelligence. See, as translators, you're on the front line. Before information intelligence goes to the agents, to the analysts, the first people who get the information basically are the translators.
Sure, you can't even send it to the president or the CIA or whoever unless you read it and understand it.
Absolutely, and you have you have this power to block information. You can decide what is pertinent to be translated and what is not, and if you want to block it, all you have to do is stamp it as not pertinent. That means the translator reviewed it and didn't find any important information there. Therefore, it will never get to be translated.
And you're telling me we were examining terrorist organizations. We were actually looking at organizations that might attack America, and the people doing the translations were connected with the very same organizations we were monitoring.
Some of the people, yes, they were. And in fact, these are no longer allegations because, as you mentioned, these incidents have been confirmed by two senators, bipartisan, Republican Senator Grassley and a Democrat Senator Leahy. And recently, the Inspector General's report issued their findings. This is a classified version, unclassified version, which doesn't have all the details. But what they said basically was that these espionage cases that I took to them were supported by other facts, documents, and evidence and witnesses.
Okay, you also mentioned, or at least it's been reported, and again, if you can't say something because the law requires you to keep it classified, I know you know what you're allowed to say, what you're not allowed to say, but it's been reported that there were cases where translators couldn't even speak the languages that they were asked to translate. Is that correct?
Correct. In fact, some of these translators were named during the CBS 60 Minutes show 2.5 years ago. In one instance, they sent this translator to Guantanamo Bay. This is the FBI translator for 2 months to get information and intelligence from the detainees over there. And they admitted that this individual had failed all English proficiency tests, that he could not even speak English in like English as a second language level. Yet they sent this person to Guantanamo Bay, and they put him in charge of translating intelligence that they were receiving regarding Al-Qaeda. And guess what? Even after announcing these people and their names, those translators are still working today in the FBI, the same unit in charge of our intelligence.
They're still there.
They are still there. This is despite the Inspector General's report. This is despite the fact that the senators have come out and confirmed this. And this is despite the fact that some of these people's names have been disclosed during, you know, on press, you know, CBS 60 Minutes. They are still there working.
Now, both the FBI and the Inspector General for the Justice Department have confirmed that your allegations are true, but these people still haven't been fired.
No, they have not.
And the people that hired them are still up in the upper echelons of the FBI.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them. To this date, not a single person has been held accountable. And this is despite all this confirmation from official independent sources, such as the Inspector General's office and the United States Congress.
Now, I'm told that they also left secure laptops lying around, took classified material home with them.
Not only that, just during the 6 months that I was working there, they lost 11 laptops from translation departments. And these laptops were loaded with top secret intelligence.
Well, you know, you say lost. When I think of losing a laptop, that's a major thing to do. Obviously, the very best case scenario we have would be severe incompetence, and the worst case scenario obviously is a lot worse. The worst case is that these things were not lost, but in fact were turned over to people who would like to kill American citizens.
You bet. Absolutely. And the only response that the Department of Justice, the FBI, has issued to the state is this. Well, it happens all the time. We have a lot of laptops that go missing.
It happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
Our Al-Qaeda translations are lost, and they wind up in the hands of Al-Qaeda. Oops. Oops. Now, do you think, and again, I don't know whether you're allowed to mention these names, so I mentioned them. They're Melikan Dickerson, the fellow translator, and her husband, Major Douglas Dickerson, who at least congressional sources have reported that you reported to them before it was retroactively classified.
Correct.
That they were involved in this. They got away. They're in Belgium now, right?
Correct. And it's even worse than that, Mark, because currently, after the IG report, FBI is saying, well, now they're going to start investigating these espionage cases, and this Melikan Dickerson, she's under espionage investigation, right?
Right, well, in Belgium.
She's in Belgium, but why? Because her husband, Major Douglas Dickerson, okay, who was party and is party in this espionage investigation, is still working for the Department of Defense. He still maintains his top secret clearance, and he has access to our military secrets and nuclear secrets. This guy, while his wife and he himself, they're both under espionage investigations, the Department of Defense has not even suspended his clearance. And I have been working with the Senate Armed Services Chairman, Senator John Warner. John Warner's office has been aware of this for 2.5 years. And again, despite the IG report and other congressional confirmations from Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy, Senator John Warner, both the representative from my state and also the chairman of Armed Services, is refusing to take any action on this case. And that just, I don't understand what's going on there.
Sybil, let me pose something to you, and this is pure speculation on my part, but, you know, I read enough spy novels that I know that these kinds of things can happen and have happened. Maybe, I don't know, they're double agents. Maybe these are people who are pretending to work with terrorists, but we really know that they're on our side, and that's why they're not being investigated. Is there any possibility of that?
Listen, 3 years ago, that was the first thing that occurred to me. I'm like, well, maybe this is the case. But the FBI has already confirmed this case, and that was one of the first questions that they were asked by the Senate, and this is Senator Grassley and Senator Leahy, that, well, are these people have some sort of arrangement, and that has already been answered, no.
Wow. Let me go to the phones. Again, the toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Here's your chance to quiz a woman I consider a true American hero. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Sybil Edmonds. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the Inside Scoop.
Yes, I'm Alice from Humboldt County.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
Well, I'm fine.
Okay. Do you have
a
question?
I'm 91.
Yes, I know, and I'm always glad to have you call. Do you have a question for Sybil?
Yes.
What's your question?
I have been reading Inside Job and New Pearl Harbor. Our White House is up to their necks in what happened on 911. They could not have honest translators looking around.
Okay, so you want me to know what you want me to ask Sybil whether she thinks the government is purposely doing this kind of thing.
That's all right. I just thought I'd put my 2 bits in.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. I really do. Sybil, I mean, you know, I guess I have to ask. It brings up all kinds of possibilities. Why is the government covering up your case? What do you think?
Well, that's the question I want answered, and I want it to be answered publicly, and that is why this government is going out of its way to such an extent that they are invoking these rare privileges, like they invoke the state secret privilege in my case, and right now they are saying my case cannot proceed in court because everything about me, including where I went to school and my languages, are considered the highest level government and state secrets, okay? Then, as you just mentioned, they went and after 2 years retroactively classified all those previously public information, right? And also they went there urgently and quashed the subpoena for my deposition issued by 9/11 family members and their attorneys. And you kind of stop and say, why are they going to this length, to this extent, to cover up this information? And we need to demand answer to that question. And for that reason, we need to put the pressure on the Congress because we have 3 branches. So let's say this administration is doing it. Let's say they have some serious, not legit, but legit reasons to cover this up. But we have 3 branches, and our Congress currently is not doing much about this. As I just said, Senator Warner's office is refusing to take it. The Senate Judiciary Committee, they have been promising open public hearings for 2.5 years, and now they are not giving any indication that they are going to do that. See, the IG report is out, okay, the Inspector General.
The Inspector General of the Department of Justice, yes.
And so they are saying, okay, all these allegations are correct. There was an espionage, there is this, there is that, and that's it. Nobody says, so what are we going to do about this? You took 2.5 years to put this report out. Well, now the report is out finally. Well, why aren't they taking any action? And we have to put the pressure on Congress.
It's a very good question, and I want to talk in detail a little bit later on in the hour about this whole state secrets privilege, this very, very strange thing, which, by the way, is not in the law. It's not in the law. It's not in the Constitution. It's sort of a judicially developed doctrine that basically says that government gets a get-out-of-accountability-free card, that any time they have something they don't want to disclose, they just say state secrets, and suddenly Congress can't investigate and the courts can't investigate. That's been used in your case. but my phones are lighting up. I want to give listeners a chance to call in. Listener, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Sybelle Edmonds.
Mark?
Yes.
It's Michelle.
Hello, Michelle from California.
Hey. Yes, Michelle from California. Miss Edmonds, I just want to say you're a patriot in my heart.
Thank you. I'm honored. We still have a long way to go.
We do, but you're making progress, and I'm very proud of that. We're going to get to some of that progress. Go ahead, Michelle.
Well, my question is, how is it, as a person in California, can educate the people that she deals with in her grassroots to what your strife has been, where you need to go with it, how we can affect people in Congress to truly open up this situation that's happening to you and others? That's really it. How can I help in communicating it to get people aware? Because the media, well, we've got Mark and we've got some other people that have interviewed you, but the media, the mass media, is ignoring, as they usually do, the true realities that are happening.
Sybelle, how can Michelle and others help you?
That's a very good question, and you're absolutely right. Mass media, as Mark mentioned, they just recently started reporting these issues, but again, in bits and pieces, and they're being so very careful to really not cover the whole issue. But for that purpose, we set up a website. It is www.justacitizen.com.
Just a citizen.
JustACitizen.com. And when you go on this website, you will see on the first page, you will see this petition, which we started 2 months ago, and currently we have about 9,500 signatures, demanding open public hearings and investigations by the Congress. And we need more signatures, and I have told people that I am not going to send these petition signatures just by mail to the Congress and wait for action. Some 9/11 family members and together with other national security whistleblowers, we are going to walk these petitions to appropriate offices, being the Senate Judiciary Committee and the House Judiciary Committee, because they have oversight. They have the authority to address these issues. They have the authority to hold people accountable. And we're going to say, here we have tens of thousands of signatures, people demanding action. We have 25 national security whistleblowers, 15 of them from the FBI, including Colleen Rowley. We have all these 9/11 family members' organizations. What are you going to do? And we're going to do it with the press, and hopefully we will have enough press, because once we shine the spotlight on individual offices and let them having to answer to the people themselves, okay, then we have a chance of making, you know, achieving some progress. But without people signing these petitions, without people, you know, sending faxes and calling their representatives, then it comes to a halt. It doesn't move forward. We have to make a national issue out of this, and this is one step towards that. And when you're on the website, you're going to see various Senate offices that we have put contact information for, which you can contact, send faxes, especially Senator Spector. He's the chairman of Senate Judiciary Committee and also right now Senator Warner for Senate Armed Services. And that would be a very good start. You can also send me emails through that website. But please visit and also send the website and the petition to everybody you know and have them send it to the people they know. Because slowly but surely we will achieve progress if we are united and we keep at it and we demand that the representatives in the Congress not to do us any favor, for them to do their job, to represent the people of this country, and to represent their best interests instead of just sitting there all mute.
And Michelle, I'm going to keep this archive right there on my website. I know some people, you get petitions all the time. They don't know who these people are. It'll be on my website. People can tune, you know, download it anytime, listen at any time, day or night, and hear Sybelle for themselves and determine for themselves the facts of her case and whether or not she's credible. To me, not only do I find her credible, but the Senate Judiciary Committee finds her credible. The FBI itself, even if it, as it's covering it up, has admitted her allegations are true, as has the Justice Department's Inspector General. So this will be, for anyone who says, well, I just don't know enough about it, you can say, here's a whole hour. You want to know about Sybelle Edmonds and what's going on, we'll have it right there on the website.
Well, we appreciate that, Mark. You can hear me still.
Absolutely. You're still on.
Okay. I just wanted to ask her, or maybe suggest, because a lot of people see this as who's this person, and that's not my issue.
Right.
Okay. And we all know that the president stated last week that he doesn't care about Saddam or bin Laden.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, if you think about it, if he's ignoring that whole issue, isn't that ignoring 9/11? Isn't that kind of muting Seibel's case, I mean, in a way, with the media?
You know, Michelle, it's interesting. They cite 9/11 for tax cuts. They
cite
9/11 for the war in Iraq. They cite 9/11 for excessive government security. But when it comes to actually protecting us from the terrorists, oh, well, the president's too busy.
Yeah. I got to let you go because you have other callers. And
I do have other callers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
I appreciate it. And listen, I know other callers. I know that you're there. I want you just to hang on. Hang on. Please don't hang up. We're going to go to a commercial break and talk a little bit more about Sybil Edmonds' case. But stay on. We're going to get a chance to answer every single caller as best we can. So hang on. We'll be right back with more of The Inside Scoop right after these messages.
Thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what, support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the MacLean.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. On the line is one of my heroes, Sybil Edmonds. She is a former FBI translator and whistleblower. She tried very hard to alert our government to the espionage going on in our FBI and instead was fired and is trying to get her story out. And I'm just so proud to have you on the show. I got a lot of people hanging on. Hang on just a little bit longer because I want to bring the story up to date. Sybil, when you tried to sue the FBI for firing you for telling the truth, let's just figure out what happened. First, they dismissed the suit on the ground of the state secrets privilege. Is that right?
Correct. So without having any hearing, any oral argument, any discovery, they went privately, secretly into the judge's camera. We couldn't be present, even though my attorneys had top secret clearance. They said they could not be present.
Not even your attorneys?
Not even my attorneys.
Who have a top secret clearance. They
Absolutely.
Were not allowed to show up.
And after they had these secret chats with the judge came out and he said, I am going to rule in favor of government because they are citing state secrets and national security. And Attorney General Ashcroft is saying that if this case is discussed in court, it's going to hurt certain sensitive diplomatic relations and certain U.S. foreign business relations. Therefore, I'm ruling against you.
Now, what's interesting, of course, is I know, as a lawyer, you can have secret information in court. You can have it where the judge reviews it secretly. It's not made public, where the lawyers have top security clearances. And you can still have a case. It's just not shown to the public. They went beyond that in this
Correct.
Case.
Correct. They are saying that currently my case involves the highest level national security matters. Therefore, none of it can be discussed, even in camera. So...
And now, of course, you're appealing that.
Correct. The ACLU joined my legal team, and also another law firm joined my legal team, and we filed our appeal and our brief on January 12, 2005, and the government filed their response on February, and on February 28, and our court date, which is the oral argument and a decision date, is scheduled for April 21st, 2005.
Wow, I may go to, I don't know if they'll let me in, but I'd love to watch that oral argument.
So far it's supposed to be open, so I hope that it will have people from the media and yourself. I would love to see you there.
I will try to be there.
Because depending on a decision, either the FBI will appeal it to the Supreme Court or we are going to pursue it and appeal it to the Supreme Court if the decision is against us.
Now, the other aspect of your story that I really want to get into is the question of classification, because the government actually retroactively classified information in the public and has just backed away from that decision. But I want to hold off that discussion for just a minute and get to some of my long patient callers. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Sibel Edmonds.
Well, yet another of your California fan club here, Mark. And Sibel, thank you so much for being an honest human being involved with our government. And it's obvious to me how they would not want to have an honest human being involved in what goes on in that White House. But I have so many questions of you. Mark, some of mine are right on the blog, if you get there, I don't know. But
okay.
I would ask you this, Sibel. Do you know enough to know, to be concerned about the commission, the 9/11 commission? They did not ask any of the right questions. They didn't pose questions about you and why they felt the need to gag you.
Dave, that's a great point. Let's stop you right there. Sibel, you appeared somewhat before the 9/11 commission, didn't you? Why don't
Correct.
You explain
I
what happened?
I provided them with my testimony.
But they didn't ask any questions.
During my testimony, this was behind closed doors in front of the investigators for the commissioners on February 11, 2004. But during the hearings, they did not bring up any of the questions. In fact, Ben Veniste brought up the issue lightly and said to Director Mueller, he said, I understand there are some serious issues involving this translator language specialist, Sibel Edmonds. However, per your request, we will discuss this behind closed doors, not in public. And this was the only comment made. And not only that, after their report came out, there was nothing there except referring to IG report,
Inspector General's report,
which at that time was classified. And they had interviewed other witnesses regarding my case, and these are other special agents and other language specialists who went there to the commissioners in February and March 2004 and provided them with documents and information. None of those cases were included in this report, not a single one of those testimonies. That's why we held this press conference after the report, and that's where we had 25 national security whistleblowers, 15 of them from the FBI. We also had from Customs, FAA, and CIA, and these people, they said, we provided testimonies, and they did not include it. And this report is a fraud, basically a piece of fraud. It doesn't have anything in it.
Well, now, Sibel, I remember back when they had the 9/11 investigation, and Richard Benveniste was asking some tough questions of Condoleezza Rice, including some of the things that you disclosed, that we had information about an impending al-Qaeda attack that wasn't heeded. And the Republicans complain that Richard Benvenisti is being way too partisan. He's attacking the president way too much. But what you're saying is that on your case, he actually bent over backwards to do what FBI Director Mueller wanted him to do, which is to keep silent on this whole thing.
Yeah, in general, although people are saying it was bipartisan, not bipartisan, it was partisan, I can tell you the whole thing was a show. And many family members, 9/11 family members, currently believe that too. Those hearings and that report, the whole thing ended up being just a show.
And in fact, when you testified, I guess you were just talking to a tape recorder. You didn't even appear before the commissioners, right?
In front of the investigators, because the commissioners, they don't conduct the investigation. They have investigators who go and sit with the witnesses and agents, and they gather information. They present the commissioners with this information, and then it gets to go to the report, which it doesn't go to the report, obviously.
And you told them what happened, and did they ask you a lot of questions?
They didn't ask a lot of questions. In fact, they didn't want to interview anyone. All these FBI agents and language specialists and FAA agents who went to the commissioners a year before the report was out, basically, every single one of us were turned away. They said they had limited time and they didn't want to interview. They didn't have time to interview most of these people. It was only after 9/11 family members stepped in and said, you promised us that you were not going to turn away a single witness. And now we are hearing that there are hundreds of agents and from various agencies who have come to you and you have turned them away saying you don't have the time. And that was when they backed off and they interviewed me and other language specialists and a few other FBI agents.
Well, Dave, I'm not sure that's a very pleasing answer, but does answer your question.
If I can expand just a little bit
there.
Clearly the commission, and it must concern you, Sibel, did not ask questions about why 160-some Saudis were permitted to fly out of the country while everybody else was grounded. It must concern you that at least one of the World Trade Center buildings was imploded. It must concern you that all of our fighter jets were held on the ground while this went on. Our government's up to their neck in this. They could not have an honest translator in there looking at papers. They still haven't translated this stuff. You know, the people that they assigned to do it don't even speak the language they're supposed to translate.
They have wrong translators.
Why do you think our country, your government, is so involved in trying to cover all this up?
Well, I think I want to have that answer, too. Now, it is very interesting because when Attorney General Ashcroft came out and invoked the state secret privilege, he cited two reasons, okay? Reason number one, he said, in order to protect certain sensitive diplomatic relations. Number two reason he cited was in order to protect certain U.S. foreign business relations. Now,
sounds to me like Saudi Arabia and oil.
That's just my own interpretation. Think of it this way. Since when the FBI is in sensitive diplomatic relations? They are law enforcement. So this, as the agent I worked for during my short tenure with the FBI said, he said, we are under pressure by the State Department. It is the State Department that is preventing us to pursue certain investigations because there are certain high-level foreign people involved, and those people, in return, are involved with some other high-level people in this country.
Wow. Well, it certainly does sound like a cover-up. Let me go to another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Sibel Edmonds.
Yeah, this is Gordon from Michigan.
Hey, Gordon, good to hear from you.
Howdy. I wonder if Sibel can possibly circumvent the gag orders surrounding her by writing a metafictional tell-all book, which is based basically on what she knows, but have it be up front, have a disclaimer up front saying that it's fiction.
That's a very interesting idea. In fact, I have been thinking about various possibilities to get the information out. And certainly I would consider that once I give up 100% on our Congress, and I haven't done that because at any given moment, our Congress can put me under oath, okay, during public hearings, open public hearings, and ask me these questions and have me answer it, and nobody can touch me in this country if they were to do that.
And I'm the first to criticize members of Congress when they're slow to act. My listeners know that. But I guess I have to give at least three people credit. Carolyn Maloney of New York, a Democrat, a Republican, Chris Shays of Connecticut, and Democrat Henry Waxman of California for having you testify before them last Wednesday.
Absolutely, and I'm very thankful for that. But you have to remember, that hearing is a good start. It's not all. Because, number one, we want a real hearing when it's held by judiciary because they have the oversight. Number two, this particular hearing was limited to misuse of classification, pseudo-classification, over-secrecy. Therefore, they didn't want and they didn't allow other details in terms of what is happening or what was happening in the FBI and the issues with the 9/11 and issues with translators to come up because their hearing was specifically designed to address just the misuse of classifications, which we did. And I believe it was a very good hearing, and I believe it was a very good positive step. But as I said, we have a long way to go. We need to have the hearing by the Senate Judiciary Committee and House Judiciary Committee jointly and put not only me out there on the stand, but other FBI language specialists and agents who want to testify, who want to give their information to the American public, but they want immunity. They want to do that by Congress asking them to do that.
Right, because if you testify before Congress, I can tell you as a lawyer, then Congress will give you immunity so that you can't be accused of divulging national secrets or anything like that.
Absolutely.
And, of course, it's interesting. The hearing apparently was on the cover-up, on the question of excessive classification, but wasn't still under the underlying charges that Sabell has, the charges, in fact, of we've got spies in the FBI. Gordon, you got some more?
Well, I'm just wondering if she needs a good ghostwriter and how's she doing with security?
Yeah, how about your own personal security, Sabell? Are you concerned?
Well, of course I am concerned to a certain degree, and I'm getting warning. I have been getting warnings for past 3 years, but there is not much I can do because...
You're already public.
Hire a bodyguard? That's not going to help.
Well, you're already public. If something were to happen to you, I would start an uproar certainly here, and I would think that, thousands at least around the country would start an uproar.
Well, that's what Dorothy Kilgallen said.
Tell us about Dorothy Kilgallen, Gordon.
Well, I don't know how she got involved in the JFK case, but she ended up being one of the victim witnesses. And we really don't know how Dorothy died, but she was high profile.
We wish you definitely well, Sabell. Gordon, thank you for your call. We're going to take another commercial break. There's still a lot more to cover in this hour. Sabell, thank you for just being you. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also comment on the blog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back with Sabell Edmonds right after this.
If you've ever doubted that the Bushites are extremist nutballs, check out their absurd attempt to twist the language being used to discuss Georgia's assault on Social Security. Following last year's presidential campaign, Bush began touting his plan to create private accounts that would siphon money out of our public pension system and let some workers put this privatized money into the stock market. But Georgia's pollsters and propagandists have learned that the term private stinks as a sales term. The public distrusts any plan that attaches this word to the widely popular retirement program. So, in January, the Bushites' language suddenly shifted from private accounts to a softer, more poll-friendly phrase, personal accounts. Bully for them. But then they began to bully the media, demanding that reporters also adopt the new officially sanctioned government language when discussing Social Security. Republican officials actually began calling journalists to complain if the word private was used in stories. George himself recently snapped at a reporter who used the verboten term, accusing him of editorializing, then curtly correcting him by saying, "You mean the personal accounts." One of Bush's congressional henchmen, Representative Bill Thomas, also joined the Newspeak campaign, chiding a reporter who used the banned phrase. "They're personal accounts, not private accounts," he barked. Then in classic doublespeak, Thomas added, "No one is advocating privatizing Social Security." "Well, excuse me, your language czarness, but that's exactly what you're advocating." The problem for the Bushites is that they can't find an effective term to cloak their privatization intentions. As one pro-Bush pollster admits, people have tried modernization and personalization. They all sink like a rock. This is Jim Hightower saying, no matter what shade of lip gloss they put on their pig of a proposal, they just can't hide the ugliness.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. And libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac Man.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine. My guest is none other than my American hero, Sybelle Edmonds, former FBI translator, a woman who was actually recruited by a fellow translator, asked to go to a meeting at one of these shadowy foreign organizations that we are investigating, and she not only refused to go, but she reported it to the FBI. What did the FBI do? Did they fire the other translator? Did they look into the investigation of espionage? No, they fired Sybelle Edmonds instead. And so she's been fighting ever since then to get justice and to stop the actual spies who are still in the FBI, still working for the U.S. government. And I've been reporting on her case for over a year, and I will continue to report on this case until we see some justice. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also write on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Brian from New Jersey writes on the blog, "It's news stories like these that really need to catch the attention of the American public. Any evidence showing our current administration is covering up and even manipulating evidence behind the events of 9/11 shows some complicity. If our mainstream media doesn't choose to spend time on this very important issue, then it is we people who need to raise hell, write your local newspaper, get in people's faces, and don't stop shouting until the truth is out there. People need to know all about this very important issue. It may raise painful and possibly even dangerous questions. God knows the Patriot Act could probably have arrested you for talking about this, but without truth, no one will set free. Keep up the good work, Mark." Sybelle, how much is the mainstream media just starting to catch this story? 60 Minutes now, New York Times, Chicago Tribune. Now they're just starting to cover it, aren't they?
Yes, but again, in bits and pieces, and it's being pretty selective. For example, they don't put anything about the reasons cited for the state secret, saying that it is to protect certain sensitive diplomatic relations and U.S. foreign business relations, which is very important for people to get the picture and say, wait a second, don't we have the right to know what sensitive diplomatic relations they are referring to? Why would some of our allies or friends be upset if we pursue certain criminal and terrorist investigations? What kind of allies are we talking about? Maybe we shouldn't have relations with them in the first place.
That's a very important point, Sybelle. This isn't to protect the names of spies. This is to protect our, quote, allies, unquote, who would be embarrassed that they have a connection to terrorism. Interesting. Very interesting.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of lot of aspects here that is not being covered still to this date. And you refer to CBS 60 Minutes. It aired first time in October 2002, and it has been re-aired, the same program, twice. But as I said, it's coming out in bits and pieces. For example, you just referred to retroactive classification of the congressional briefings and letters that were public, right?
Right.
And Senator Grassley came out and called this a gag on Congress. He said Ashcroft is gagging the United States Congress, and it's unprecedented, a move like this.
You know, you would think when a Republican senator complains that the that the Republican president is gagging Congress, that would get some news. I should tell you, it's part of our Constitution. You may well know this, Sabelle. Maybe some of my listeners don't. It is part of our Constitution that members of Congress cannot be arrested for anything they say on the floor of the House or the Senate. That dates way back to the American Revolution when members of Parliament would be arrested by the king for speaking against the king in Parliament. So it is actually literally language in our Constitution, not even in the amendments, saying you cannot be gagged, member of Congress, and yet the president is violating that very strong constitutional right, and there's no press.
Correct. And Mark, if you were even to go after they backed off a few weeks ago, if you go and ask the American people and say, how many of you knows that the Congress, our Congress was gagged illegally by this administration, you're not going to find many. When I go on some of these interviews, people express their shock. They're like, when did this happen? We didn't know that Congress was gagged.
They probably don't even believe you. You know, I found in this business, you can say the truth, you can show people documents, and people are still like, no, whatever the administration says is correct. It's like they're under some kind of zombie mind control. I don't understand this willful refusal to look at basic facts and basic evidence, but hey, that's why I'm on the air, to try to open people's eyes. One of the interesting things, though, about this retroactive classification, and I have to just say as a lawyer, I have to emphasize how strong a restriction on free speech this is. There's even a question in the law about whether you can do prior restraint. Most people believe that, for example, when the government leaks to the press, that you cannot do prior restraint. You can't prevent the press from reporting it. It's a very controversial doctrine to even suggest that you can report, that you can ban something before it's been reported. But the administration took this a step further. They said you could ban something after it's been reported. That's never been done before in American legal history, and when it was challenged in court, as you well know, Sabelle, what was it, the day before the hearing or 2 weeks before the hearing?
Just one day before the hearing, they backed off because they didn't want the judge to come out and say, guess what, you didn't, that was illegal. So they rather to come and say they were wrong themselves rather than having a judge declare that it was illegal. That means Attorney General and this administration engaged in an illegal action.
Right, and how long would they retroactive? I mean, the whole idea of retroactive classification is—it's not just censorship. It's laughable. The idea that in this day and age, when we've got everything on the internet, that you can unring the bell, that you can erase things that people have cached on, you know, letters from members of Congress are suddenly to be erased as if they never happened. It's very much like George Orwell's 1984, only it can't succeed, can it? In 2005.
Well, that's the whole thing. So far, they have been getting away with taking actions like this. Look, for example, they backed off on retroactive classification, right?
Yeah.
But in my state secret privilege, they filed their brief, and this is what it says. Even though we backed off from retroactive classification, even though this information exists all over the internet, we are still invoking the state secret privilege and classification, including those Senate letters, for the court purposes. So the court cannot see it, and they cannot bring it in court, even though it exists on thousands of websites.
So they turned American citizen. The doctrine that established the state secrets doctrine, which, by the way, again, has, by activist judges you think conservatives would not want, it's a case called Reynolds. And it's a guy who was in a spy plane, a B-29, and it crashed. And it turns out, we find out 50 years later, it crashed because of poor maintenance. But because it was, I think, often does, is intended to do, it covered up government misconduct. And indeed, the Inspector General of the Justice Department found something very similar, didn't he, Sabelle? Didn't he find that the purpose of firing you was to cover up their
activities, because she reported these issues to the management and to the Congress and nothing else, because to this date, they cannot cite any other reason. My performance, and they were all like high. And they made me actually take a polygraph regarding my allegations, which I did, and I passed. They came to my house, and they confiscated my computer. They were saying that I was communicating these issues back and forth with the Congress. And at that time, I was not. I was trying to resolve it internally. So they confiscated my computer.
Oh, no, you were telling Congress? How dare you? I mean, you can talk to Al-Qaeda, Sibel, but you can't talk to Congress. That's un-American.
Oh, absolutely. That is covered by classification. You have no right to go and inform the Congress. And
don't forget that, of course, this president has hired in high places people like Elliot Abrams, who hasn't that believe that the felony of lying to Congress is a much higher good, I guess, than telling members of Congress the truth. You know, this state Secrets Act, it's very important for people to understand what this is, because we can stop it. A law can stop it. It's been used, for example, when we send people like Maher Arar, the Canadian we sent to Syria to be tortured. He comes back and he says, hey, the United States sent me to be tortured. And they say, oh, no, state secret. We don't have to discuss it. Even a guy that sues the CIA for racial discrimination. Oh, no, state secret. We can't discuss it. There is a way to stop this. And if correct me if I'm wrong, Sibel, but Carolyn Maloney has a bill with your name on it that would get rid of this doctrine. Is that right?
Or at least limit it. Because originally when they came up, really, rarely invoked. And in fact, if you look at the last 150 years, you would see that it was really rarely invoked. Maybe you could count the cases like in one hand, right?
Yeah.
But then just during this administration alone, in past 3-4 years, it has been invoked right and left so many times, and that's why people are hearing about it for the first time. When I first came out 2 years ago and I was telling people, including some attorneys, that they invoked the state secret privilege, they would say, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a very obscure legal doctrine. As I said, it has no basis in law. And, you know, I can understand if they don't want to name spies. You know, okay, I can understand that. But to say that you can't even discuss your case, you can't contact members of Congress, I mean, this has not just been used against Sibel Edmund. It's important. It's been used against people. You know, when we send out those torture planes, that's state secrets.
Not only that, Mark, they are saying, for example, I obtained my master's degree 2 years ago here at George Mason University, right?
Yeah.
They are saying it is top secret classified. I can't say that I went to school there. And what was the topic of my master's degree? Can you believe that?
Well, obviously, it's public. Anyone can go to the university and look
that
it up.
That means I can't have a resume.
You know,
it prevents me from having a resume.
Oh, my God. You know, another thing I know, when there's the case of Abu Ali, the American that we sent to Saudi Arabia to be imprisoned. And they said in that case that not just the evidence that they supposedly had against Ali was so secret they couldn't even show it to a judge, but even the legal arguments they were making to put the guy in jail in Saudi Arabia were so classified, they wouldn't even tell us their arguments, much less the evidence. This is a government that is hiding behind closed doors, Sibel, and my listeners are still asking the same question, and I understand your reluctance to answer it. Frankly, I'm reluctant to answer it, but the question on everyone's mind is, what are they hiding? At best, the best thing you can say about it is severe and gross incompetence. But when you look at all these things together, you look at the fact that the spies are still in the FBI, you look at the fact that they're being supported by the higher-ups in the FBI, you look at the fact that the government is hiding this information from Congress, it tells you that something stinks at the very highest levels.
And you're right, Mark. You're absolutely right. It is not only incompetence. For example, the sensitive U.S. foreign business relations that they are referring to, those businesses, they are, the American public, they're not benefiting from those businesses.
No.
And when you get to those businesses and those organizations, you see that very few people end up being implicated in this.
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this way back in the past. I did a story on George Bush's past, which, again, very few people know that he had failed business after failed business, and to the Saudi Arabians gave millions. Indeed, more than $150 million was transferred from Saudi or families or associates to Bush or families or associates. And people don't know about this payoff. And the amazing thing is this isn't even disputed. This is not disputed. This is a matter of public record. I don't know why John Kerry hasn't mentioned this. I don't know why the Democrats haven't mentioned this. But if you disbelieve me, just look up Harkin Energy. Find out how it was all saved by the Saudis. It sounds to me like someone in the Bush administration is protecting some enemy of the United States at the very highest levels. And, it's people. Sibel is really, as much of a hero as she is, she's just a small player in this. She's finding out some stuff, and the fact that they're covering up her case suggests to me that there's a lot worse things going on here. Sibel, keep up the good fight, as you, I know you do, as you continue to do.
I will. I'm not going away. And thank you.
And thank you for coming. I'm going to have you on this show as much as you're willing to talk, because we need to get these facts out there and let people know the truth. You're a wonderful American patriot. And
anytime, Mark.
Keep up the good fight, Sibel.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your coming on the Inside Scoop. That's it for the show. Every time I talk to Sibel Edmonds, I don't know, I get a combined anger and passion at the same time, and yet I smile, because I'm so proud of the risk that some Americans like Sibel are willing to take to their lives, to their livelihoods, to everything, to fight for America. You know, I hear from liberals, people all the time, disheartened and saying there's nothing we can do. This administration has us beat. We've got a one-party state. All we have left are our voices. And you've got to get Sibel Edmonds' story out there. Again, it's already been confirmed. The FBI, the Senate Judiciary Committee, Republicans and Democrats, the Inspector General Justice Department have all said, witnesses and documents back up what Sibel is saying. It suggests to me that something is rotten in the state of Denmark, to quote Hamlet. Something is rotten at the very, very top. And Director Mueller of the FBI, I don't know whether you're a spy or what, but if you don't come clean on this, well, there's a suggestion that there's treason at the very highest levels of the American government. So please, don't let this lie. Tell people about this particular broadcast. In fact, you can listen to my old archive broadcast on June and July 2004 when we first interviewed Sibel. This, my friends, I think, can be and is bigger than Watergate. People need to know about it. And if the mainstream media isn't covering it, you need to press them to cover it. And all I ask is that, I get to play myself in the movie. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tomorrow we've got Debate Tuesday. It's a televised show. And I'm going to be discussing with Jim Parmelee of the Republican, Northern Virginia Republican Political Action Committee, basically our philosophies. Get away from the facts a bit, all right? We understand there's corruption at the highest levels of government, and just try to understand why people believe the way they do. I want to encourage you to call in then, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. This is Mark Levine saying, don't love your country right or wrong. That's like loving your mother drunk or sober. Love your country when it's right. And when it's wrong, love your country by putting it right. This is Mark Levine, signing off.